welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, certified financial planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard WTCM News Talk 580. It's New Retirement Radio time, Thursdays on WTCM, right after the 10 o'clock news, with Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Ron Jolly, it's great to be here. Thank you on a very wintry morning here, 1/27/22. And thank you to those of you who are, well, there goes our music again. Yeah. Those of you who send in cards and letters. Look at this, Ron. I'm going to just open
Dennis
up this
is unfurling
whole thing.
A newspaper.
So Wall this Street is actually, Journal. Remember Ed Slott last week?
Yes.
Mentioning this article out of the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, that's right. Down in Texas.
Squabbling heirs rock a Texas ranching dynasty.
So somebody sent that to you.
Gentleman from Petoskey.
Thank you.
I didn't
you.
Ask him if I could use his name, but thank you very much. With a little note with it, too. Yep. And I've shown all the staff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
At the
that's
office.
Very nice.
Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for sending that. It just. So, the proof's in the pudding. Ed, thank him. Thank you as well for coming on last week and sharing with us your inputs. Have had a lot of positive comments on that. In fact, got an email responded to last evening about a variety of questions. And the question was, well, can you sit with us? Absolutely. As we've discussed, we offer a no obligation consultation. First one, 1 hour. And we'll just sit down and talk. So you can get an access to us so you can see what it's like to just sit down and talk. Possibly answer some questions you might have. Just get maybe a little bit better comfort level with speaking with someone different perhaps, in regards to your own financial situation and or concerns. And there are lots of them out there. As Ed mentioned, those that are inheriting IRAs now, it's going to be a big deal. I think you were talking, Ron, at the break, or just before the break, about the number of deaths in Michigan exceeding births. So not just due to COVID, people getting older, and others than inheriting assets. And it's not as simple as it was once. As it once was.
Do you remember the attorney? I can't remember his name. He's an attorney downstate, but he said blood may be thicker than water, but blood clots.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Philosophical.
It's figuring right. this stuff out is.
Philosophical
important.
Ramblings from an attorney can make sense because, you know, blood is thicker than water, but man, yeah. I think what he meant was that. It can cause fights. All of a sudden, you're in business with someone that you've not been in business before, and it was just a familial relationship. All those things can change when you're no longer looking at mommy and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at each other. And I've seen that firsthand. It's a wake-up call, perhaps, of working with others within your own family that you haven't had to work with in that intense atmosphere. Of money, love, and all the rest.
Stuff. Yes,
and
because
siblings.
It has meaning to it.
And spouses involved.
And
their children, perhaps, as well. In-laws, yeah.
Can the grandchildren of this sister's second marriage use the family cottage? It gets a little bit tricky.
Yeah, like distant. Now, who are those people again?
Yeah.
We all know who they are. We saw them at Thanksgiving, but, you know.
Doesn't mean I want them here.
The relationships. Why do you make us think about this stuff, Dennis? Because if you think about it, your comfort level is way higher than theirs is going to be, as well as most, I'll just say this, most of you, I shouldn't say it that way, but I'm going to say it anyway, most of you are so much more comfortable with your own financial situation because you've lived with it for 20, 30, 40 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. And most folks, I'll just say this again, discount their own knowledge. You don't get it because you think they get it. Oh, my children are very smart, Dennis. Don't tell me that. Well, they're very smart, but they haven't had the experience you have. And they haven't listened to the rules. They haven't listened to this radio show.
They haven't made the mistakes yet.
Yes. And so, as Ed mentioned again, and I reference, and I've seen it with the inheritors. They don't know. They haven't been on the playing field. It's one thing to practice. They've listened to it in the classroom, but it's entirely a different situation for them to swing the bat, if you will, or to throw the pass. Easy to watch the pros do it. Oh, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, really, who is he anyway, right?
Well, and siblings don't know what conversations have happened with their parents, side conversations. You know, well, Dad told me that I could have his tools in the garage. Well, but Mom told me that I could have them. Or, you know, all these little side conversations happen. And even if you're an adult, your brain still thinks like a sibling or a kid. You know, you lock into what was promised to you or what you think is going to happen. And
you have preconceived notions sometimes mm-hmm. of what that means. Well, mm-hmm. You're right. They haven't heard those conversations. And what are they to do with that? Well, you know, those tools are worth a lot of money. We put those on the market. So figure that out. I mean, those are great conversations to have with your attorney. Your favorite estate planning attorney, right? Because you won't believe, and or for you to have with your children now, I always, you know, postulate or pontificate about these things. Well, Dennis, is it so easy for you? No, it's not easy for me, but if I talk about it, I might do it, right? And I have, but it is a process that all of us get to go through because you, generally, have created complexity by the very nature of today's financial transactions. Well, we got this 401k over here. We have an IRA here. We have a non-qualified annuity contract over here. What the heck is that? So you see, mm-hmm. they're not going to know how to take those, mm-hmm. how to receive them, how to not just manipulate them, but to avoid the consequence of stupid mistakes. Yes. Yes.
Well, it may seem expensive right now, but it only gets more expensive later when you're gone and each of the siblings are hiring attorneys and on it goes.
Yeah, so it could be the worst of circumstances. It could be the best.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, it's like checking into the hotel. We know the five questions we want to ask when we check in. Okay, what time's breakfast? You know?
The number one thing.
And tell me a little bit about it. Where's the exits, or where are the exits? What's checkout? We get those. We get those things. And you don't even think about it when you're asking the questions. Well, those are the same types of questions, maybe a bit different. Eh? Instead of what time is checkout, it's how do I inherit this account? What's that look like? How do I do this? That's why we have this. Sorry, I'm pulling at Ron's technology here. Mm-hmm. Dennis, leave the stuff. Stop touching that. So what the equipment, leave the equipment alone, would you?
There's a brand new soundboard.
The brand new soundboard there being wrecked by Dennis. So what should you not touch? How do you inherit this? How do you transfer this account properly to avoid all the tax?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's how you do it. So that's why we have these directives,
guides, forms.
The guides, mm-hmm. thank you. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the right term. They're white papers, if you will, that
modules.
Have been put together.
The modules, all the thanks, Ed Slot thanks, modules, thanks. That's it.
The Ed Slot modules that are 17 pages long. And we'll discuss about five of them when we have the parents in with the children. so that they have a way to acclimate to what the heck we're talking about. Because while you get it, they often, not all the times, but often don't. So give them a leg up, if you will. Mm. You wanted to give them a leg up in every other area of life. Think about, okay, how can we get them even partially up to speed so that they're relatively ready to join the race? Because you've been running this thing for 40 years. It's like those, not a steeplechase. What is the race, the track race, where one joins in and another?
Relay.
The relay race. Thank you. So complex.
Well, I don't
So the
run,
relay
so
race
is
like expecting one person to start from zero and get up to speed immediately. It generally is tough, okay? So I digress. It's not at all what we're supposed to talk about this morning.
And by the way, the ladies in the background, Shay Pataja is
Let's
here,
introduce
the Chief
them,
Experience
shall we?
Officer, Shay.
Hello, hello.
Thank and you. Heidi Thompson.
Good morning.
Who is, I say, the office manager is one of your
managing
titles.
Managing executive.
What is
and
that?
Also managing executive.
Yep.
And also the retirement income certified professional.
Certified professional.
In the room.
Hello, mm-hmm. Heidi.
Hello.
Shay,
it's
CXO.
Good to be here this morning.
Thanks. I went off on a rant, and because I've seen it up close, thank you for listening. And we're trying to help ourselves, honestly, as well as you. So, man, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and only getting bigger. But today we're talking about the economy. And do we have any time before the break?
Yes, Dennis.
Yes, we
what
do.
Is the topic?
Yes, today's topic is the economy. It's the economy, stupid. We're going to be talking about rates, inflation, and the economy. But before we begin, a rather simple story, and then we'll take a break and then get into our material. So this here, show and tell, mm-hmm. is a face mask. I could have used this Tuesday evening when it was 11 degrees and the wind was blowing about 11. Because I had to turn around because I didn't have this face mask on because I couldn't breathe. In
oh,
essence,
that's like made
what
for
I had
winter.
On.
It's
made for winter.
Like,
it covers the nose and the mouth.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And
like you
I
don't
said
wear
to
that
Jill,
into the bank.
I said, I can't believe it. The wind was coming in from the west. It was 11 degrees and it drove me right back inside. Hmm. I couldn't do my walk. And I've forgotten that I had this because it's been quite a few years since we need anything like this. But the point is, I put this on this morning, and I frankly didn't need it as much because it was a balmy 20 degrees instead of 11. But I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, wow, I could breathe, and my glasses weren't getting fogged up.
And it has a little nose cover.
And it has a nose cover on it.
Get your
I'll
nose warm.
You. I'll just show
Let's
you.
Let's just see this right now. Yeah, you should not walk into a bank with that.
No.
No,
no
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
But remember at the beginning of the mask mandate, people were robbing stores and banks.
Yeah. I don't remember that. Yeah. I was kind of in a haze when this all started. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's wild, Hal, because one small piece of information, one small piece like this can make all the difference from being driven back inside or saying, oh my gosh, I can do this mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. I can walk outside. As the Nordics would say, it just depends on your equipment. It's all about the equipment, eh? So we're going to try to equip you a bit more, mm-hmm. perhaps, to withstand this market volatility. We're going to be talking about it in depth this morning.
I see the
market's
there.
Volatility.
We're going to start with a Shay stat, and then I'm going to hand it over to Dennis to explain.
Yeah, lots of that's a great stat, and it goes right into feeds right into our topic this morning. Go for it.
After closing at an all-time high of 16,057 on November 19th of 2021, the NASDAQ Composite Index has fallen 14.2% total return over the next 2 months to close at 13,769 last Friday, January 21st, 2022. The NASDAQ Composite is an unmanaged index of securities traded on the NASDAQ system. Of course, this source is NASDAQ.
Tends to be the higher tech arena, if you will, Google mm-hmm. and all the rest. And so, those have all corrected about 15% from their highs. So the issue is the economy. Mm. As pointed out by our own economist that we consult with, Rob, we'll just refer to him as that. There are four main points here.
Rob the Economist.
Rob the Economist, okay. Not obviously not all-inclusive, because we have some others from our own money managers that we use. Number one, the key dynamic in these speculative financial market frenzies is which Rob refers this as. In the self-reinforcing feedback, or rather is the self-reinforcing feedback of everyone being overconfident, so they must buy now. Mm. This works again and again, increasing the bull's confidence until it doesn't, and the herd thunders off a cliff. So that's what's partially happening here with all this volatility we're seeing in the markets. There are a lot of issues related to this. Well, is it increasing interest rates? Is it Ukraine? Is it Taiwan? Hmm. Yes.
Yes.
It's a variety of factors all coming together in terms of uncertainty, causing increasing uncertainty. Now, another indicator is Bitcoin, believe it or not, dropping sharply. If that drop continues, Bitcoin could prove itself emblematic of the speculative mania. It's another indicator of things we can say, yeah, look at that thing fall, because it was a lot of speculation as to its value and price versus its actual use as an economic help, if you will, to transactions. Third, the monthly debt balance number is now starting to diverge on the downside from the upside behavior for the S&P 500. This is the FINRA margin debt we're talking about. Those who took on debt to buy stocks. That number is finally falling for the first time in some time. And it coincides directly with the price of the S&P 500, as you can see in that chart here, Ron, okay? Check that out, how that comes up there.
Look
bam,
at that.
Bam.
One direction.
Now that it's very clear
one direction
everyone.
On the way
north.
Up, until it's not. Number four, the U.S. households currently have record high portfolio allocations to common stocks.
Yeah.
As shown in the chart below, I'll show you this just in a moment here, Ron. I know you got to be dying with curiosity.
Let's see the chart.
How and when does this end? And I put exclamation points right next to that. See
you did.
That?
Yes, I see that.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, the last time we saw this, is everyone listening?
Yes. We're waiting.
Year 2000.
2000.
Not a good time.
I have a Shea stat for that.
Stat. See, to help prove Dennis's point.
To help you prove.
Amazing.
The U.S. stock market was worth $53.4 trillion as of December 31st of 2021, 2.3 times the size of our $23.2 trillion economy. At the peak of the dot-com stock bubble in March of 2000, the U.S. stock market was worth 1.4 times the size of the U.S. economy. And that's from a fund manager, Julian Biddle. So we're at 2.3 times the size, and at the dot-com bubble, it was 1.4 times the size.
Yeah, so significantly more, driven partially by a very accommodative Fed. That means that interest rates are incredibly low.
Oh.
That's partly driven the stock market, making costs cheaper for business. Given that reality, and the fact that the Fed's, I think they're going to raise interest rates. Is that what we've been talking about? I don't know. Who knows?
For like
but it
years.
Would appear that they're going to. Now, Mr. Diamond from Chase says it's going to be seven times. Other prognosticators have said, well, maybe three. Whatever it is, somewhere between three and seven. Pick a number out of the hat. Given that reality, though, even if they increase, still will be considered relatively accommodative in terms of low interest rates. Now, the other thing in the soup, the other thorn in the flesh, whatever we want to call
whatever.
It.
Mm-hmm.
The bee in the bonnet?
Could be. Say that again?
The bee in the bonnet.
Yeah, the bee in the bonnet.
That.
There you go. The other bee in the bonnet is the election coming up this fall causes more uncertainty, and the graphs, which I don't have with me right yet, I'm not to that paper yet, shows the average return in the markets tend to be really volatile in the year of an election. So that's the weather. The weather outside, we're going to need to adjust to it. Now, the gentleman who wrote this, as I referenced, Rob.
Rob the Economist.
I talked to him about this 2 days ago. I said, Rob, tell me more. what are you thinking and saying? He said, well, he said, Dennis, I'm excited. Really? He said, well, I recognize the stocks that I own are coming down because the market's down. But he views it as a huge opportunity because they can go in and buy. They can go in and buy. What does that mean for you? You need to be prepared for volatility and weather. Well, what did Colleen, was Colleen talking about the weather coming up here 3 to 7 by 6 a.m. tomorrow morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
at least we don't have a bomb cyclone.
Yeah, bomb cyclone. Wow. So given the reality of us needing to adjust, and not so easily done sometimes. Sometimes it's a review with us. We actually sit down and show you what's going on. Mm-hmm. Doing quite a bit of that here recently. Happy to do that with you as well.
But okay? you look at people's situations. If someone's 2 years out of retirement versus 20 years out of retirement, you're going to have different strategies or reactions?
Oh, very much so. So what do we need that money to do? It's for a purpose, is it not? Well, I just want to pass it on. Okay, that's one way. Or we need to draw income from this. Or I don't like this kind of up and down sort of thing. Everyone is different, of course. And these are all different conversations. So where are you? Where are you at?
Okay. So you were... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Ron.
A quick question. You mentioned all of the things that might be coming up, Ukraine, Taiwan, the election.
Sure.
And the stock market will kind of react to that. Those are in the future. But today the market is up because of fourth quarter growth was higher than expected, which has already happened. Mm-hmm. Can you comment on that, please?
Love to. So, you know, they forgot. Oh, yeah. Earnings are up a bunch from the fourth quarter by a lot of these companies that are reporting right now. Apple, I think Heidi mentioned
comes out
tonight.
Later,
maybe later today. So their earnings, there's something driving this, all right? But once we get the front view again, and we're looking at this uncertainty, what impact will these have on earnings going forward? The market tries to look forward. Now, given that we've had a surprise in the rearview mirror, that may help the stock market. It is in the short term. But this volatility means something. Do not discount this volatility, even though we've wound up with so many days at or above where we started. This volatility is simply a warning. Expect volatility this year, I think. I think that is almost a foregone conclusion.
So what you were saying, though, is that Rob, who you consult with,
yes,
is looking at this from a strategic, more on the offense, how he can take advantage of this,
yes,
versus being panicky on the defense. So,
right.
And I like your analogy of a sale when you're looking to buy a coat. Like, you may wait till the spring to buy a coat you won't use till the following year, but strategically you're looking ahead and saying, okay, I'm going to wait to buy this coat. I know I don't get to wear it till December, but I'm going to get a great deal on it this spring. And the same goes for economists who are looking at when the stock market declines. They look at that as a huge, like a sale. There's an opportunity for them. And for me, that's a real mind blower because I think we operate in a defensive, scared, reactive, somewhat of a victim mentality when it comes to money. But when you can turn the tables and look ahead and say, now, how can you plan? How can you get ahead of this?
Yes.
That's a different strategy, and it gives you more, you feel more empowered when you're in that position.
It's the power of planning. Now's no time to think of what you haven't done. Think of what you can do with what there is. That's an Ernest Hemingway. And I'd actually use that example with you. Another part of that before the show, the coats on the rack. You're not going to sell every other coat in order to buy the one that you need because the one is threadbare and you say, well, you know, all the other women are wearing this or, you know, whatever. I love that style. I think that could work, but I'm not going to pay full price.
Correct.
So you may need to wait 2 months and again to wear it in 9. But you're willing to have it sit on the rack, if you will, in your own house so that you can use it in the future because you purchased it at a discount. That's the same thing they're trying to do, these market buyers, if you will, these money managers. Now, what happened back in March of 20, the market was down by about 35% in 6 weeks. Hmm. 6 weeks.
This obviously,
we didn't have
downturn,
all the negative.
Right?
Pardon?
This
yeah,
was
sorry.
The COVID-induced
Yeah, that
downturn.
Was the COVID turndown. We had much better economic numbers at that point in terms of the future. It was probably overdone, yes. How do we know it was overdone? Because the same money managers bought so much, it took the market 3 days to fulfill all the orders.
Mm. That's crazy.
3 days.
Yeah.
And that April of 20 was the biggest up month we've seen in 30 years. I know that because of Shea Stats. Thank you very much.
Shea Stats.
Shea Stats.
So,
well, I just think it's very interesting, and I think it's an encouraging way to look at changes, and it empowers me to look at the financial decisions I have going ahead this year that I know are there, they're on the table, and think, oh, I should meet with an advisor. It's kind of like you want to know enough about, I'm going to make this simple, you want to know enough about your car so that when you go to get it fixed and they explain things to you, you understand. That doesn't mean you want to become a mechanic. And same with advising. You want to know enough about your money and understand it so that when you're presented with decisions, you feel like you're called an advisor because you're advising on decisions that we have to make for ourselves with your health. I don't want to be a doctor, but I want to understand what a white blood cell count means. You know, I want to understand certain things, so when it's
right.
explained
so
to me,
yeah.
I can make a wise decision moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason to have an advisor if you've always managed your money on your own, or you're getting to the point where it's too much. And it's so crazy out there that when your advisors, and when I jump on these webinars to learn, even for marketing stuff,
our own people are saying,
like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And you know that but they're saying that it really is. And so you guys have your fingers on the pulse of that every single day and are talking to multiple advisors to educate our clients.
We are. Thank you, Shay.
You're welcome.
Do we need to take a break here, Ron?
We can take a quick break.
Let's do that, and then we'll have Heidi on talking about how to help handle this volatility, and we'll talk about more stats right after that as well.
Before we go,
yes, sir.
Shall we grab a quick phone call?
Oh, sure. Let's do that. Thank you, Ron.
Let's grab the call from, let's find out who we have here, Ray from Atlanta, Michigan, which is Montmorency County. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Ray.
I have a question that I have never really heard anyone address, and I've been doing it for over 20 years, and I'm not a short seller or anything like that. But what I have definitely seen, and we just saw it again this week, where people are getting smart enough to take, I call it, the cream off of the top, and if you're right, you're not losing anything because you can turn around and buy right back in when the market drops dramatically. Why do we not hear of more people doing something like that?
Well, it's not as though it's not known, of course. So if you've sold when the market was, say, less than a month ago, it was at 36,800, almost 37,000. Well, you would have been about, 2,500 higher and sold. And you could have theoretically bought on the Dow when it was down to about 33,200 a few short days ago. It's at 34,500 right now. So that just shows you, man, it's volatile. So theoretically, there's nothing the matter with having done that. It's just that most people don't have the discipline. Fear overcomes them. There's nothing wrong with doing that at all.
Okay.
And it can work.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray, for the call.
Great
there.
Point
made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you, Ron. And Heidi has got some points here about protecting retirement money from market volatility.
Right. So, you know, we're talking about all this stuff in the market and everybody's, and we have a lot of people coming in that are worried.
Yes.
Because you hear all these things out in the news. And so what can you do about it is the next thing people want to know. Do I need to change what I'm doing? And Really, looking at this article I found in Avestopedia, they said the single most important thing you can do to mitigate risk is to diversify your portfolio. And there's a couple levels of diversification that you can look at. One, you can look at the asset class. So are you buying stocks? Are you buying bonds? Are you buying cash equivalents? Things like that. But then you want to take it to another level as well, as to what happens within each of those categories. So if we take stocks, for example, are you diversified in that as well? Are you looking at large cap, small cap, value, or growth? So you can be diversified as to what asset you're buying, but then also what category of assets underneath that section are you diversifying as well. So being well diversified can help you, because if you have some things that do well in a certain environment and others do well in another, so then you can time and decide, well, I'm going to use this money at this time, and then maybe a year later you're using money from somewhere else.
A great example is energy. Energy stocks have been up this year so far, so we can be sure about that. In general, we can say that. But obviously a lot of other stocks, the tech stocks, have been down. So that's a very simple example of that, but it shows in spades what's happening. Yes, go ahead.
And the more diversification you have, the more you can change and midstream as things around you change. But something that Dennis and I both talk to our clients about is the importance of having a buffer, an emergency fund. This is something you have some cash in the bank. About 6 months of expenses, 4 to 6 months is really what we usually recommend people target, so that you have some place to go. If there's a really bad week or something in the market, you have a buffer there, so you're not dependent on selling something at a loss. So by preparing your portfolio to handle different market conditions, that volatility, you just sort of have to steer as you go through that volatility and use these different pieces and different investments that you have as to which one is the one you need to tap at any given time if you need funds or you have that monthly income coming out.
Part of the problem here is that it's been so long since we've had a significant decline of any import and any concerns about the economy. We've been running for so long, years and years, in a very positive environment. So all of a sudden, things could possibly turn negative. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. So it's like having winter, if you will. Go ahead, Heidi.
Right. And then there was another article that I had taken a look at, and this was from Kiplinger. And they said, you know, you might want to look at and explore some protection products. And what we mean by protection products are things that are maybe not invested directly in the market. There's different kinds of investments you can make outside the market that may react differently. And some of those can include things like annuities, which are insurance products. But these are complicated things that you'll want to talk to an advisor about your own situation if it's appropriate, because some of these products can be quite complex. And so you want someone to be able to take you through those ins and outs to see if it meets your individual situation.
Thank you.
Well said.
And another thing in that article were actually tips, Treasury inflation protection securities, too, for shorter term issues or concerns. They tend to be X the market, if you will. They don't respond directly to the stock market.
That's
indeed.
That's correct. And then I had one more thing for people out there. I just I saw this week, and I thought people might be interested, that the Social Security Administration and unions have reached an agreement on opening. So the Social Security employees go back to the actual offices on March 30th of this year. So if everybody remembers, it was way back in March of 2020 that they went home. And the offices weren't open anymore, and all your appointments were over the phone or online. So now they're going back to in-person meetings, and so they should be in the office by April. So just a heads up out there, things are changing.
I bet Bob Simpson's excited. He's not the only one watering the plants at the Social Security office.
That's right, and doing the mail.
Doing the mail.
There you go, Bob Simpson. a great representative for the local security, Social Security office, rather.
How do you know he's watering the plants?
He told me.
Okay.
I asked him, I said, so are you holding down the fort or what? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm watering the plants. I get the mail. He's doing all of it because he's the only one there. He's a rock star. I have to know these things, Ron. I don't know why I have to know these things. I just do. Do you want some more Shea stats?
Yeah, let's do a few more stats. These ones see if we've got some more time here for more economic stats, too.
These ones are fun because I think everyone's experienced them. For example, if you tried to buy a new car or perhaps a used car in the last couple years, the price of new vehicles increased 11.8% in 2021, dwarfed by the 37.3% increase in the price of used cars and trucks last year. And that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
The average price for a new car is like 46 grand or something like that.
Average
like
now?
Average, yeah.
Whoa.
I'll double check that while.
Yeah. That's mind-blowing.
Martha, that's what we paid for our first home. I mean, we're going to buy a car? Yeah.
That is some weird, wacky, wild stuff, huh? The U.S. private sector workers earned an average of $31.31 per hour as of December 2021, and that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The three most popular states to move to during 2021 were Texas, Florida, and Tennessee. I know it felt like Michigan, but that's not the case. Texas, Florida, Tennessee, all warmer places. The three states with the greatest outflow of people during 2021 were California, Illinois, and Pennsylvania. The rankings are based on more than 2 million rentals and moving trucks last year that involved a one-way interstate movement of furnishings, personal belongings, and clothing. And that's from U-Haul Migration Trends 2021, which is kind of awesome. I get very excited about that nerdy stat.
I don't know. I wonder if taxes have something to do with that.
Well, maybe. But
no surprises there.
No surprise on California and Illinois, but yeah. I am a little surprised about Pennsylvania. But no surprise people want to go to warmer places because winter here, well,
it's cold.
Trying sometimes. Well, yeah. Thank you, Shay.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Ron just pulled this up. Average new car price tops 47 grand, an all-time high. All-time.
From Consumers Reports. How about that?
How about get an electric bike? Those things are awesome.
Yeah,
Jefferson's becoming more bike-friendly.
You can't believe the number of bicyclists who said, you know, my old friend there, he's 75, he stopped riding with a bike club. Then he found himself an electric bike, and he's back with us.
Like an e-bike.
E-bike.
Those
okay.
things
Big
are
time.
Fast. Have you ever been on one?
No.
I got a little nervous because I didn't think they would go that fast.
Wow. Like, wait a minute.
I did.
Your
I was
own
like,
motorcycle on a bike.
Yeah. I'll have to get one.
All right. How are we doing on time here, Ron?
We are good for a couple minutes here.
All right. So I wanted to show you the balanced portfolio would have outpaced other strategies over the last 20 years. Now, this gentleman that called from Atlanta, thank you very much for your phone call, by the way, pointing out the importance of remembering that good money managers, they tend to do good things. That's what their job is. Do you have a way to look at how they've done to actually monitor their performance and see from an independent source, which we use all the time, how they're doing, that the same people who got those returns are still there, that their fees are reasonable, that all those areas are things that, as you were looking at car prices, who's actually looking at the soup? What's in it? When you have those people reviewing that for you, that can help make a better educated decision about how do we allocate this? Who should we be using? And what will they be doing when the prices are coming down? Hopefully, which is what we've been talking about, they're actually in there buying judiciously when those prices come down. They're looking for better value. They know these companies. They've talked to the people. They actually have relationships with them, and they review things with them. And when the prices come down on great companies that they know have a very good opportunity, they're in there buying. We all know that. But sometimes it's helpful to hear it from your own people. Remember diversification, as Heidi has talked about. And remember, what is the purpose for this money? What are we hoping to have it accomplish? What do you want your money to accomplish for you?
And when do you want to use it?
And when do you want to use it? Now, this graph here shows a balanced portfolio, a ride-the-wave portfolio, and a buy-the-dip portfolio. And it's amazing to me. The balanced portfolio, now, obviously, interest rates were coming down in the last 20 years, so that made a difference. But it's amazing. The balanced portfolio is about 3 to 3.5 times in value over the buy-the-dip or the ride-the-wave portfolio. That's amazing to see.
What's the balanced portfolio as opposed to ride-the-wave?
That includes a balance of bonds and a well-diversified portfolio. So among those points, strengthen your core bond allocation to help counter volatility. And five, diversification rather still matters. So maintain a balanced portfolio, diversification, international, some in well-selected bonds, some in, as in Heidi mentioned, growth stocks, some in value stocks, different types of funds that can answer all of these questions. That's what we're trying to do here.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.